TheDigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Center Show, Show 112, Thursday, 28th June, 2007. Center show with Orb Networks. I'm Ian Dixon, and this week on the show, Tim Miller, technical manager from Donmia, joins me to talk about their Harmony home automation system and how a Windows Media Center can be the hub of the digital home, and hear about some of the interesting projects they've got coming up. I have email into show, news items and forum post of the week. But welcome to the show, good to have you listening. I'm going to go straight to an email from Randy Harris. He says, "Hi Ian, do you happen to know if Media Center 2005 can be set to recorded TV directly to NAS? Thanks, Randy." Thanks for the email, Randy. The issue is very similar to the problem of recording directly to Windows Home Server. I think it's probably the same issue, and it's due to the way Media Center works and the security issues around that. You have to have a certain setup for it to work correctly. So the best thing to do is to read the thread on setting Windows Home Server to work with Media Center, because I think the permissions apply the same way, and the guide is very helpful in going step by step through the settings, and you'll be able to see there how that equates to NAS. I'd be interested to hear any other listeners' thoughts on that, and if you're using a NAS server to store your content on, how are you setting Media Center to record directly to the NAS device? Another idea, and something that I think I would start using soon, is to use a tool like DVRMS Toolbox that can move files around after it's finished recording. And I think the way I would use it, I would have it recording to the local Media Center box, and then the tool would then move the recordings around to the different devices like the NAS server or Windows Home Server, and remove the commercials and those kind of things. So I'd have it in that kind of operation. But I know it can be done with a NAS server, and if you have a look at that link in the show notes. Now to another email. "Hi Ian, long time fan here, but this is my first writing. A while back I was searching for tips on fixing up my Media Center music library. The never ending quest of fixing thumbnails, ensuring proper tags, etc. I found a guest audio segment on your show, and the presenter gave detailed instructions on how he managed his music collection, what tools he liked best, etc. It was really excellent. The problem is, I thought I bookmarked it, but I can't find it anymore. It may be a fairly old show now, I don't remember. I searched through the blogs and had no luck. So I was wondering if one rings a bell, you might have a link. Thanks very much, Ian, from Don." Thanks for the email, Don. He was actually back on show number 26. Jeff Twybell recorded an audio segment on optimizing your music collection, and that was on show 26. So a link for that is in the show notes. And finally, on the email, "Hi Ian, I just purchased a HP Digital Entertainment System, XP Media Center 2005, that has both NTSC and ATSC tuner cards in it. My TV is not HD and is connected to a DirecTV satellite tuner. I was wondering if I connect an antenna to the ATSC card, will the signal show up on my non-HD television? I do not want to buy an antenna if it will not work. Thanks in advance, Dave Cozy." Thanks for your email, Dave. I think what you're trying to say is if you connect an aerial up to your ATSC card, will Media Center be able to display that signal correctly on your TV? You don't say in your email how your TV is connected to Media Center. If it is, and you're using like a VGA cable from your, or a composite or something like that from your Media Center PC to your TV, then even with the ATSC card being receiving a HD signal, it will still display on your TV if you're connected by, say, the VGA cable. You won't get the benefit of being HD, but you'll still get all the content. So I think what you're saying is, does the ATSC card only output onto a HD television or something like that? No, it doesn't. It will just integrate it with Media Center and the rest of Windows. So depending on how you connect up to your TV, you should be able to display it. And if you're using an extended device like the Xbox 360, that should play it as well. So I hope that helps. and let me know how you get on. Please keep the email coming in. It's ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. I do like reading your email out, and it's always great getting them. And if you've got any comments or thoughts on any of the emails I've read out in the past, please send those in to ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, and I'll include them on a future show. Now to some news items. Interesting news on Media Center extenders. On Eric Anderson's blog, he confirmed that V2 extenders do exist, and that he was using a prototype device that has native DivX support. Eric Anderson is a Microsoft employee, and you can see the link to his blog in the show notes. And it's great to know that the extender devices, which codename Pika, do exist, and because we've heard absolutely nothing about them, and they are on the way. And also really interesting if it is true and that it turns out that they do support formats like DivX, because it would be a nice way to differentiate the Pika Media extenders from the Xbox 360, because a lot of people will say, well, why do we need a separate one when the 360 does it? But I think people do want to see sort of fanless dedicated devices, and supporting these extra formats natively will be great, because it's just one less thing you've got to work out how to convert or use a product like Transcode. And also great just to know that the device exists. So interesting news, and a link for that in the show notes. And actually related to that, saw an item end of last week that Microsoft is to buy a $12 million stake in a Chinese TV maker. So this could be a way of getting extenders, or this could be a way of getting extender into TVs. Microsoft have invested $12.3 million in a Chinese electronic manufacturer, and the two companies are said to be cooperating on developing and marketing TVs and computers and home entertainment products. So this could be a missing element in Microsoft's strategy for media centers, that we can see TVs with embedded media center extenders in them. Everybody's hoping that these are coming soon, and this may be just another way of introducing those. What does worry me slightly is the fact that we keep sort of seeing slightly different strategies from Microsoft around home entertainment, and we see the Xbox 360 being the center sometimes with IPTV, and you know, we've got media center, and we don't see this completely joined up view on things. So I hope that we don't end up with another set of user interfaces and another platform for TVs, and I hope that media center extenders are sort of built into these devices. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of products come out of this development. Time will tell. This week, Microsoft released the June 2007 cumulative update for Media Center for Windows Vista. I installed this today, and so far so good. It seems to be okay. It's available via Windows Update, and you can also get it directly from Microsoft. And thanks to Mike at Mr. Remote for the heads up on that. Details of what's contained within the update are on the Microsoft site, and a link for that is in the show notes. Check out that, and it's always good to keep your machine up to date. It's also good to see what is containing the updates. It doesn't seem to be a great deal on this one, but it does include previous updates as well, so it's well worth staying up to date. And if you've got Windows Update set for automatic, then some of my machines do, then this just gets installed automatically, and the machine reboots, and it's ready to go. You may remember the last few shows about the giveaway I talked about. This was for a prize pack including my Media Center book using Microsoft Windows Vista Media Center, and things like Microsoft Mouse and mouse mats and t-shirts and things. Well, I'm pleased to announce the winner is Nigel Trevor. Nigel emailed back and said he'd like the book signed as well, so well done to Nigel. Please let me know how you're getting with the book, and I hope you like the extra bits of the pack. Also this week we have a winner of Forum Poster of the Week, and this week it's Yap from Luxembourg, and he posted an interesting post on Windows Media Connect. Have a look at that in the link in the show notes. And Yap wins a copy of MCE Phone and Pamela the Digital Assistant for Skype, and that's for Forum Poster of the Week. And to win yourself, just post on the digitallifestyle.com forums, and you could be drawn at random. And one other thing before we take a break is I want to expand some of the content on thedigitallifestyle.com, and I'll add some more blogs and podcasts. So I'd like to invite anybody that's got any ideas for creating their own podcast that's going to complement the Media Center show, then I'd like to hear from you. All you need to be able to do is have the commitment to do a regular show, and it could be on anything to do with the digital lifestyle. It could be mobile technology, gadgets, development, or anything. You don't have to be an experienced podcaster. I can give some pointers on the way. I had no experience when I started, and learned as I went along, and hopefully you could do the same thing too. So if you're interested, drop me an email to ian@thedigitallifestyle.com and let me know what you're thinking about, and we'll see what we can work out. Also, the popularity of the developer blog, which I talked about before, and the expert blog on the site means I'd like to expand the range of blogs as well. So if you fancy writing a digital lifestyle blog, let me know, the same address, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Okay, now I'm going to take a break and a message from great show sponsors One Voice, and I'll be back with Tim Ellert.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on OneVoice's Media Center Communicator, MC Each Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. OneVoice offers licenses for MCE Speech Tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
Tim, welcome to the Media Center Show.
Well, thanks for having me on. That's great.
We're going to be talking today about Harmony and home automation and the Vista plugin and all kind of things that you've got going on there. So if we could just start with an introduction, a bit about yourself and your company.
Okay. Well, I'm the technical manager at Domia, and we are primarily a software automation company, home automation, all this kind of stuff. We have a distribution business, and we also have a pure team of geeks working away to bring new product to the market. We basically have been in business, I suppose, for about 4 to 5 years. We were very much at the beginning of the whole home automation cycle, especially as it's now taken off a lot over the last year. And have generally been a lot at the forefront of the technology. I think we were the first people to develop a Media Center 2004, 2005 plugin, and for home automation, that is. And we're coming up to very soon launching a brand new product. We've been slightly off the radar for about 8 months or so, but we've got a brand new product coming out which is going to incorporate Vista MCE plugins, mobile phones, home automation, the whole works, which hopefully I can tell you a bit more about later on.
Yeah, that sounds really intriguing. So we'll start first about sort of the home automation business that you're in. So how did you sort of start getting into that area?
It's an interesting one, actually. I've been a software engineer for quite a few years, working primarily Microsoft stuff. Used to do a lot of work with banks and things like that. And one Sunday afternoon, I happened to fire off an email to Domia, or back as it was then, a company called Simply Automate. Having got version 5, I think, of Harmony, which was at the time their sort of flagship automation product, I kind of told them what I thought was bad about it, what I thought was good about it, told them what I thought was good about the market, what was happening. Just at the time when I'd started developing my own Media Center 2005 plugin for it, the MD ran me up and said, look, come on over, come and be tech manager. So I did.
That's great. So they like what you were doing and your suggestions. So you got
exactly. Basically, I rocked up on day one and gave them the XP Media Center 2005 plugin I'd written, and also a Pocket PC plugin I'd written as well for Harmony. Laid down a few of the ideas of where I saw the market going, what I thought we should do, and where we should develop. And roughly at about that point, I probably was involved for about a month, and then the whole company, I would say, very much dropped off the radar software side as we tried to expand and create some of our partnerships, such as with companies like Intel, who we are I think the word I can say is we are in partnership with. We've been working very much with them on their quad cores and stuff to bring basically home automation and media and digital entertainment in a one-stop solution to the living room, which is where it fits in with the Vista MC, which I'm going to go on later to tell you all about.
And so what kind of markets are you doing? Is it European or do you do US as well?
Both. We're currently setting up actually two offices out in the US. We're also dealing in Dubai. As you're probably aware, there's an enormous amount of construction going on out there at the moment, of which our new lifestyle solution we're basically trying to put through, which is put into villas out there and touchscreens and media center and quad core PCs and this entire digital lifestyle, as well as so the US, Europe and Dubai. Primarily, I think next Thursday we're going out there because there is an enormous show going on out in Dubai, which is, I think it's called the Home Tech Middle East Show, which is starting on about the 13th of May. And with eHome Automation, who are our subsidiary out there, and Intel themselves, we're basically launching eHome Domia Lifestyle, which is this which is basically an entire home automation solution based around an Intel quad core PC with Windows Media Center for Vista and XP2005 interfaces, Pocket PC phone interfaces, internet interfaces, web browser, all Ajax, touch screens, USB key interfaces, so you can carry a user interface with you anywhere and plug it into your home. And that's very, very exciting. It's very unique and very different to what's out there currently on the market.
That sounds really interesting. So first of all, let's talk about that now. So what's the system called that all this sort of runs under the banner of?
It all runs under the banner of Domia Lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And Domia Lifestyle is a hardware and software solution. Basically, we have Harmony 2007, which is Harmony 5.1, which is the software that when I joined the company, which is the home automation software, has now been rewritten from the ground up all the way through in .NET. It's a service. It runs as a core service on a PC, and it has multiple interfaces that talk into it. So that's one part of it. We have Harmony CCTV server, which provides the security side of things, and then we have Harmony Media server. So you have these three pillars, which are media, CCTV, and automation. All running on the same box, all powered by a sort of Intel quad core PC while watching high def or gaming, so it doesn't even hit the performance at all. So that's the core server stuff. Off from the server, you then have thin interfaces into, like I say, Pocket PC. We have mobile phones, so just Java applets that you can run on your standard mobile phone. We have a full Ajax web interface into it as well. We have a Windows XP 2K, Vista interface, and we have the Media Center interface for both XP and Vista. The Vista one, I have to say, obviously looks a lot nicer than the XP one because it's written from the ground up in MCML. The only other part which I hadn't mentioned was the fact that the whole system is designed to run as a middleware. And so it doesn't matter what home automation technology you have, whether it's X10, whether it's Rayco, whether it's Cbus, whether it's, Domia Lights. There's a whole range of different technologies, and each of those are just little plugins. So you can do incredible things, like from your Vista MC box, pick up your remote control while you're watching television, you pull it up, it keeps the television in the background, pops up a small, nice animated menu. You can pop through, your events, your devices, your CCTV, and you can say, right, okay, select this. I'm going to tell this device to turn on, and that would say, okay, that's a Cbus device, turn on over there. And then that could trigger another action, which could actually send an X10 signal over your power line to turn something else on, or an RF signal over Domia Light to turn something else on. The whole, it's totally hardware independent, which is, again, one of the reasons why it's a very, very unique, very, very unique system. And just on the further point, the real core unique selling point about the system is something which I suppose we've coined OCPA, which is One Change Propagates All. Regardless of what interface you're looking at, regardless of where you are in your house, whether you're external, however many people are using this, you change an icon, you turn something on, you turn a device on, and it's instantly reflected throughout the entire messaging server all the way through every device. So your mobile phone suddenly shows that device is on, your touchscreen shows that device is on, And so you never have, which is one of the key problems we have in the market at the moment, sort of synchronization issues where, you know, you walk up to a touchscreen and turn a device on, and then nothing else in your system, you know, knows that's happened instantly, or maybe, you know, another screen would perhaps refresh next time you hit refresh on your browser. But, you know, with all the powerful technologies, things like Ajax, the whole thing is just instantaneous and pushes the status out to everything. So you always know exactly where you are and what's going on in your house.
That sounds fantastic. It's kind of that complete whole house or whole on all these devices solution that everybody sort of talks about as the home of the future, but the kind of stuff you're talking about is being able to bring that together here. So in the typical sort of installation, what kind of devices are you looking that you'd have in it, sort of working with all this kind of stuff?
Well, primarily it's broken down into, I'd say, about five or six key things. You have... obviously, lighting's, you know, a key thing for everybody. Most home automation systems you see nowadays, obviously, you control your lights, you know, setting scenes, that kind of stuff. We then take that, obviously, a stage further. We have CCTV and we have security. So you can, from any of our interfaces, view all your CCTV cameras, view live images. You can turn on motion detect. You can, you know, get alerts to your mobile phone or to your email of things when they happen with an MMS grab of what's going on. You have live streaming anywhere you are in the world of exactly what you want to see. You have pan, tilt, zoom control, all that kind of stuff. You then move on. We have media. So you have remote, sort of what we call sort of play-out source or play-out remote media. So your entire media collection, you know, sitting nicely in your media center PC, we give you the power basically to take that collection, play it at a touchscreen, play it in a room, play it, you know, over the internet to where you are. You know, so you stream it to your phone, this kind of stuff. All from the same interface. So, you know, you go in and you're either dealing with your lighting, your appliances, say turning your oven on before you get home on the way home from work, all these kind of things, as well as clicking on your CCTV, seeing your security, and then clicking on your media, being able to play that, you know, organize that, you know, kick something off on your media center PC. One of the really, really cool things about the whole technology is that when you work with devices like motion sensors, and these can be, and I'll use it as a broad term because they don't have to be a specific manufacturer's, they can be anyone, because we have the plugins for them and we support pretty much all the hardware. What you can do is you can set up your media so that when a motion sensor picks you up, let's say I walk from the kitchen through to the sitting room of my house, that means I go through the drawing room. I have speakers in each of those rooms in the ceiling. I'm in the kitchen, the motion sensor knows I'm there, it's playing my music. I walk into the drawing room, and if I put it in follow me mode, the motion sensor picks me up, it plays it in there. If I'm then in the sitting room, it'll then pick it up and play it in there. And the same goes for the controls within the house. As you move around, you know, touchscreens come on if you're in the room and just go to sleep if you're not, you know, all based on utilizing sort of various different manufacturers' technology.
Well, that sounds really... I like the idea of having the sort of the audio following you around and the system being intelligent enough to know where you are. So I guess, I mean, things like, you know, lighting, as you're going from room to room, I guess you could have the lighting to follow you so you're not sort of trying to grab the light switch in the dark.
Absolutely. It's possibly one of our most requested features is just exactly that. You know, in the middle of the night, lights will just follow you as you walk around the house. You're not worrying about things. But it extends out to all sorts of other things. I mean, we have some of the solutions we've been looking at and the things we've been working with is, you know, things like controlling taps. So you can have, you know, baths that, you know, run themselves 10 minutes before your alarm wakes you up as your lights turn on in the morning while it starts playing your favorite track. You know, scenarios like where someone rings your front doorbell, you've got a CCTV cam there, it flashes up on a touchscreen before you've even got to the door, or on your phone if you're not in the house, and you can sort of say, okay, I know who that is, let them in, and it'll automatically let them in because, you know they're a friend or something who's coming to stay, and you don't physically have to be there. I suppose the best analogy I can kind of put towards it is a kind of Star Trek idea. And that then gets taken a step further. Because we have a full voice recognition interface for the entire system. So you can sit there and say, you know, Harmony, turn the sitting room lights on. Harmony, you know, what time is it? Harmony, do I have any emails? Harmony, you know, what's my schedule for today? And it'll feed that back through designated announcers, which it will know where you are based on, say, motion sensors or things like that. Or you can just have a standard place where it spouts it through sort of all the speakers. It's about basically, like I say, it's all about bringing every little bit of the digital lifestyle that's out there and is kind of merging together at the moment a little bit, and just putting one big software solution that gives you one point of contact for absolutely everything in your digital lifestyle.
And does it do things like, I mean, you mentioned about the audio. One of the things a lot of people ask for is sort of the whole house audio. But one of the limitations that I've, say, currently got in my setup is that I can listen to my music anywhere in the house on any of my devices, but they're not synced up together, so I couldn't have the kitchen playing exactly in time with the music that's playing in the dining room, so you kind of get phase issues or delays. And can it do the kind of handle all that kind of situation?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the key thing about it is it's as clever as you can be with it. I mean, we did an installation actually the other day. Well, sorry, correction, some of our installers did an installation with our technology. What they actually used was a massive relay block. And so they actually didn't want multiple audios in different rooms. They wanted whole house audio of the same thing, which would follow them. And so they just had a relay block for the speaker wire, which was turning on and turning off different relays depending on which room they're in. So you actually only ever had one source of audio playing, which was then the speakers were literally enabled or disabled depending on where they were in their house. And so you never had any sync issues at all. I suppose on the flip side, though, we also, you know, you can have multiple sound cards, you can use Opus systems, you can use a variety of different technologies so that you can actually say, you know what, my girlfriend wants to listen to, you know, something wonderful in the kitchen, while I want to go and listen to the latest trance dance record in my sitting room. And you can do that too. And again, the controls for doing that are all there in the touchscreen on your phone. UMPCs as well, that's something I haven't mentioned either. UMPCs are absolutely ideal for this kind of thing, especially things like the Samsung Q1. You know, you pick it up, it's got a wonderful wireless connection, and nothing looks sweeter than when you pick this up and you can see, you know, live streaming CCTV in your hand right there, and you press another tab and you just turn the music up and alter the volume, and it knows which room you're in to do that, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got a Samsung Q1, and it's kind of one of the things, especially around the home, is you tend to have on quite often, or, you know, off on all the time, even perhaps when you sat on the sofa and it's just a handy device to have. So I guess it's nice to be able to utilise a device like that and run, you know, the home automation, the whole thing on that one device. And I suppose, this, again, with tablet PCs and laptops as well, you can run it on there as well.
Exactly. And I think one of the key facts I've always found is I've always been an early adopter of technology, and I've generally worked my way up through all the Windows CE pocket PCs, you know, all the way from version 2.11 all the way up to what we're on now, Windows Mobile 5 or Windows Mobile 6, as I'm probably dodgily running. probably less said about that, the better.
I think it's coming out in any day now, actually. That's one thing I do. I'm another sucker for the Windows Mobile devices, so we'll have to talk how you got your Windows Mobile system.
But those devices are great. You know, it's my phone, it's my diary, it's everything. And now it is my house as well. You know, I can, you know, the other day I went to a big Intel show that they had on in a conference on in Paris. And on the way down, as I'd left, I literally got up at crack of dawn, jumped in the car and gone. I suddenly thought to myself, I actually shut the windows. And I just pepped it up, pulled up the CCTV, which was streamed over my 3G connection to it, and I could see that my whole house was off, I could see everything was sorted out, and I was quite happy. And, you know, if I wanted to, I could have turned lights off there and then et cetera, et cetera. It was just very useful, and actually for me, one of the first times, because, as I say, we're literally launching this in about a week's time, it was one of the first really good external usage models that I had actually been able to get once they let me out of the office for a bit.
They'll let you out every now and then.
Yeah, exactly. You get a bit of food and then back to the coding.
that's a nice facility to be able to, you know, to essentially check in your system to see that everything's okay.
Well, exactly. It's quite interesting. One of the things that actually isn't going to be ready for this release, but will be probably coming out within a month or two afterwards, is we've taken the whole voice control thing another step further, and we've integrated it into telephones as well. So as well as being able to, you know, do these things via screens, etc., etc., you'll also actually be able to call your house, and your house you'll actually ring in, just like you know you can speak to telephone services nowadays or use DTMF to dial and control stuff. You'll actually be able to dial into your house and say, do I have any reminders? It'd be a bit like talking to a personal assistant, which is very cool, albeit with a lovely computer voice.
I mean, that's almost very similar to what Microsoft doing with Exchange Server 2007, and you can call in and give it instructions about your email and appointments and things. So you're saying even this, you can call into your house and interact with it over voice?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So, you know, you're as well as, you know, as well as working as a, you know, pure voicemail and telephone system as well, and call logging, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, you can call in and you can say, you know, so Harmony, you know, have I left any lights on? Yes, there are two lights on. Which zones, which categories or whatever, you know, oh, you've left zone one on, or you've left your bedroom on, or you've, you know, you've left, you know, whatever. And you can then say, you know what, I want to make sure all that's off, or I want to, you know, do I have any emails? I want to, you know, and again, we're kind of slightly encroaching, like you say, on the Exchange territory here, but, you know, again, you don't have to have the full-blown install of Exchange to get this from your house. You just have to have Harmony, and that's kind of the angle we're going from with that.
So you've got the different devices there. Just we'll come back to the Media Center device. I'm interested in sort of the touchscreen devices. What are they like?
Well, at the moment we have three devices. I can't think of the size of the small one. Oh, actually, I can give you an example. We have one that's designed to fit into a standard double socket, you know, a standard UK double socket, which is a bit like a kind of pocket PC size with extensions. And that's very much a sort of small retrofit thing. And then we have an 8-inch one, which is much bigger. Again, they both run Windows CE. Yeah, I mean, they give you, again, full access to absolutely everything in the system. And then the kind of crown and glory is the 15-inch one, which is running, I think it's XP. And it has things like a built-in video camera. It has a built-in microphone. And again, one of the extensions that's currently being developed by one of our guys is to have things like Skype and MSN built into this, so that you can actually use these things not just as, you know, for talking to the outside world. You can use them as intercoms. Whereas that may sound funny for, say, small, you know, English houses or something like mine, where I live in a cottage. You know, some of the markets that we're hitting out in Dubai, you have these enormous palaces where the working as an intercom is just absolutely, you know, a saviour for them. And again, with voice control and all these kind of things, and for instance, like now, if I was standing in front of one of the touchscreens, I could be having a Skype conversation with you with full video, and you could see my glaring smile or whatever it is.
And of course, the great thing about that then is, I suppose you can go, you know, you can go into any of the room where you've got these devices and to sort of pick up that conversation. Because if you're in the kitchen and, you know, someone calls you on Skype, you can just pick it up straight from there with your sort of your touchscreen device.
Well, exactly, and it works really nicely with one of the usage models that we tried out was for families. You know, where you've got like some one of our businesses, obviously, like I say, is going out to Dubai, and we had a cross conference call when one of our investors actually was over. He was chatting back to Dubai over, you know, these things, and having two or three different family members on different touchscreens, all sort of you know, flipping between one and the other, so he could talk to them all, which was quite a cool thing. If you're into really geeky technology, it was actually quite a cool thing to watch.
Yeah, it sounds great. I mean, I'm I love these kind of things, but, you know, whereas, like you said, you know, okay, in a small house, you know, the things like intercom and things, and having these devices spread out into different rooms is not an issue. But when you get to the bigger installations, like in Dubai, and a lot of the homes in the States have, that, you know, this kind of technology is a real benefit to a sort of a big household.
Exactly. And seeing as it's our launch market, we thought we'd better get in there.
Yeah. I mean, the touch devices, I guess, the smaller ones running CE, really pretty powerful. So can you get like video on that, you know, so play your video collection on the CE devices?
Oh yeah, absolutely. One of the joys, obviously, with the reason we chose CE was because you've got things like Windows Media built in and stuff like that, which we can utilise to sort of play back embedded. The other nice thing, obviously, is things like CCTV, and the way we stream our CCTV, you know, you can just view any camera, double tap on it, and it'll zoom in and fill the whole screen, and things like that. And CE was a really nice extension for us, because, like I say, the whole thing was developed in .NET, .NET 2 actually, and, you know, just being able to take actually something I haven't actually mentioned. One of the key designs of the system was that we wanted the community to get involved. Once we've launched this, and once it's got a bit of ground and it's moving, and it's not just the kind of realms of some of the larger installs like it is at the moment, we've developed an entire API which gives you full access to absolutely everything in the system. And like I say, we just basically, one of the lovely things of .NET, took that API and just ported it straight across to CE, virtually with about 3 code changes to, you know, things that weren't supported, and we were away. And so that gave us that, and it also gives the community, you know, we've got quite a large collection of followers in our forum who are already, you know, dreaming up wonderful Vista gadgets and things like that, that they're going to use the API to have, you know, so they can have these things on their desktop. And you know, I guess at the end of the day, it's their creativity is the only limit.
Right. So if you, as a developer, you can put one of your .NET assemblies into your program, into my own program that I'm developing, I can then incorporate your APIs in there, so I can turn things on and off and read status of things and that.
Absolutely.
Kind of thing.
You will have total access. Every single function of the system is in the API, purely because that's what we did. We wrote the core server, we then wrote the API, and then for every interface that we wrote, it just utilizes that API. So it's there, we've documented it, and it's just ready to go for anyone to get involved and do what they want. I mean, there's nothing our system can do that the API can't, because we've used it all the way through everything.
Well, that's really good, that, because there's always something that you know, developers want to do in addition to what you've already come up with. You know, there's always something specific, so just being able to drop that in is a really good idea, and it opens it up for, I suppose, even more scenarios that you haven't sort of come across yet.
Exactly. And one of the things we've really had feedback on from various beta programs, and there's a real dedicated community of guys that have got the most amazing installs kind of joined up with various different pieces of technology running the system. You know, it's kind of people like you or I who've just gone to the extreme with this stuff. You know, all of their ideas, we'd love to include everything, but we can't. And so now we can just turn around and say, look, most of you guys are actually techie enough to be able to figure this stuff out. .NET's a wonderfully easy language to write, especially if you're using, you know, BBL C#, choose your poison. Go for it. Give it a go.
Yeah. And that's a nice thing. That I mean, that's one of the things I got into early on with Media Center, is that you could kind of fairly easily get into some of the programming of that, because there's some, you know, a software development kit. So a developer then can pick up those and then mix those up with other SDKs and come up with some pretty well solutions, I guess.
Well, exactly. I mean, I personally developed quite a large bit of the system. And again, I developed the Media Center, Vista Media Center plugin as well, in MCML. And that was a real interesting one for me, because coming from I'm mixed, I'm half and half C# and VB background. Suddenly jumping into XML and going down that, MCML, sorry, and going down that route was a very different way of programming for me. And I can see why they've gone that route, because it really does make it easier for, you know, not quite so hardcore techies to get involved and produce something. But then when you do get the hardcore techies getting involved, you know, you kind of think to yourself, well, that's going about it in totally the opposite way to what I'm used to. We've actually, with the Media Center plugin, really pushed that. I think we've probably pushed it virtually to the breaking point of what it's capable of. One of the really killer features of that is when you go into CCTV on it, and you literally click across, you go in, and you get live feeds from every single camera. It doesn't matter how many cameras you have connected to your system. You know, we've had this with 30 or 40 cameras, and you're scrolling through. Imagine when you're, like, you know, scrolling through your album art. Imagine if your album art was animated and you were actually watching what was going on as you scroll through your album art in Media Center. It just looks absolutely incredible. You then select it, it zooms up, you can then pan, tilt, zoom it around, you go back, turn a light on, you know, run an event, cause, you know, a macro. It got to the point where, when we were developing for it, we actually ended up, I'm not sure if we crashed it, but we ended up quite decking the MCML rendering engine, to the point where we ended up losing control of the actual screen refreshes. Everything was working in the background, you could move around, you could do everything, and so we had to code around that in the end. But the great thing about doing MCML, the reason we chose it, as opposed to maybe going down some of the other development routes that are now available, is that it's just native and it works brilliantly across Xbox 360s, and seeing as that's the only decent media extender that I've come across at the moment, you know, that was a core decision for
right me. Yeah, I mean, that's the other side of the story I was going to come to sort of next. Getting you've got your touch screens sort of dotting around the home, and then going through Media Center, I personally use the Xbox 360 as an extender So that's my only way of connecting to Media Center to my TV. So all this being in Media Center Market Language means that you can run this on the Xbox 360. So say you got a situation and you're watching a movie on your Xbox 360, or something you've recorded. Is there then like interaction so that if the security systems pick up somebody's at the door or whatever, have you got the ability to be able to see who it is, pause the program, and that kind of interactive stuff?
Absolutely. It was actually one of the key requirements for. It's actually something I haven't told you yet. We basically, Intel in Swindon have their entire demo digital home suite there, which is actually running all of our technology, obviously, because we're in partnership with them. And it was one of their key requirements was quite bizarre. They wanted to have a door, a fake door in there, so that when someone opened the door, or someone knocked on the door, or rang the doorbell, it would actually pause the current television in Media Center, pop up a little Media Center box saying, "There is someone at the door. Do you wish to let them in?" And then in the kind of image pane where you can actually have an image for it, it would then put in the snapshot of who's at the door, so you can actually see what's going on. And so yeah, the interactivity is definitely there. The way we got into that was we actually ended up having to write about three different programs for Media Center. We had a background service, we had the nice interface from the top, and we had another separate service that was running that was handling a lot of things. So it was actually quite a complex solution to get that level of interactivity, but it works, and it works very well.
Yeah, that's kind of where the power of the PC comes in, isn't it? That you've got that intelligence. So you've not just got a CCTV system, you've got the one that interacts with it, so it knows what you're doing, and you kind of tie these things together. So I think we've talked about home automation on the show before. I guess you've got things like, you're going to watch a movie, you want the curtains to draw and the lights to dim and the receiver to come on and those kind of scenarios.
Exactly, and you want it either at the touch of the button, or you want it as a voice command, like, you know, "I'm watching a movie now, Harmony." And the issue we had when I first joined Domia was that if you wanted to do that kind of thing, you had to have so many pieces of kit, so many different. You had to have virtually different PCs, one for CCTV, one for all this kind of stuff. You had to have you had to pick basically a hardware manufacturer and then try and do everything with them, or you ended up having very unstable kind of jerry-rigged patches between the two, which never really worked for me. And that was where we kind of took this idea from. And now, obviously, with a quad-core PC, and we've been doing so much testing and working with Intel so closely with that, you've got four cores, which, you know, you can have high def, you can have your CCTV, you can have all that, you have one box. And then with Harmony working as a middleware, you can plug in as many PC controllers or devices or wireless controllers that you want. And suddenly you're not just constrained to one hardware manufacturer, and you're not also constrained to ridiculous expense. I mean, that's the critical thing about this solution now. You know, we've actually managed to bring the price of this kind of technology down to mass market, to stuff that, you know, yes, you can go wild and you can go and have incredible bespoke designs with everything, and you can probably end up spending 10,000-20,000. But you can also, with, you know, a retrofit plug and play wireless technology where you can literally take your lamp socket, take your plug out of your lamp, plug this other adapter in, then plug the lamp back into it. You know, for a starter kit for that with a home controller, you're talking about somewhere in the region of, I think it's $49.99, or somewhere around there. I'm not sure on the exact prices, but it suddenly brings this control and this technology to the masses, which is what lifestyle is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said previously, it had to been all these things have been out of range, but in the last couple of years, these things are coming down to sort of consumer price levels. I mean, take something like the security system. If you've got, you know, a small house and you want something like a camera on your front door to see who's coming in, you know, who's at the door, this kind of thing. What kind of equipment do you need to get that?
Well, you've got a couple of options. It all depends on how many holes you want to drill and what your budget goes for. I mean, easiest case scenario, you could technically, if you really wanted, I wouldn't recommend this, you could shove a webcam there and route the cord all the way back, or if you can get a wireless one, do something along those lines. We would basically recommend something along the lines of an IP cam, a wireless IP cam, something like a VivoTech one or a D-Link or something like that, and that will just, you stick it on the wall and there you go, away. You know, pan, tilt, zoom, even better, and then that can just talk straight back to the Harmony server, and it will pick it up, you can configure it, and you can just pull the video from it, and that will then propagate that to anywhere you want it.
Right. So you can have this running on your Media Center PC. You've got, say, on your 360, you've got the Media Center interface, so you can see it through there. And if you wanted to in other rooms, you could have other PCs or other touchscreens to get at that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And on your phone and live over the internet as well. So all you need, like I say, you need I think you can pick up these VivoTech cameras. I think somewhere around £60 or £70 nowadays. And then you pick up, I suppose, Harmony CCTV server. I'm not 100% sure on the price of that. I probably can't say until we've launched it. But you pick up Harmony CCTV server, which is again a middleware piece of software, and that's all you need for those two things. Oh, I suppose you need a wireless router as well, or something along those lines. But that's all you need.
I mean, like things like wireless routers nowadays. You know, probably the majority of listeners to the show have got wireless equipment. They've got decent Media Center PCs, so all these things are kind of in place already, so they're not having to go out and, you know, rip everything out and buy all new equipment.
Well, exactly. It's very much, there are two key markets that we're hitting with this, and there is obviously the new builds, the people with who are looking to put in a really good hardwired bus-driven system where you've got absolutely everything kind of embedded in the walls, and then there's people like you or I who just want to plug a socket in and have it talk either wirelessly or along those lines. And when you start going down that level, you know, you can get a couple of, I think you can get three sockets and a basic remote control for a very 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 small amount of expense, like $19.99 or something. And you want it to work with that stuff you pick up in PC World, basically.
And then sort of for the AV guys, the AV enthusiasts, these are the ways to control things like, you know, the AV receivers and sort of the home cinema type equipment.
Totally. Something I haven't even mentioned, actually, is Harmony IR server, which again is a solution for both, it learns and can squirt out any remote signal or anything like that, and so you can basically set up events, you know, so you can, if you've got IR what are they called, not IR squirters, IR blasters, that's the one, yeah. If you've got a couple of IR blasters and you've got all your AV stuff hidden away, you know, underneath your TV or in a cupboard somewhere, yeah, Harmony can trigger an event. It can you know, from literally from your Media Center interface, you could select, you know, turn this device up or raise the volume on this or lower the volume on that, and it'll send the commands that it's learned. So, you know, just like every other device that learns, yeah, you can control all that. It's fundamental.
Right. So you don't, the devices don't have to be X10 or Z-Wave or whatever. They can learn through the IR as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's just another. The way we look at it is because Harmony is a middleware, you know, like you say, whether it's Z-Wave or whether it's X10 or whether it's Domia Lite or whatever, or C-Bus Radio, blah, 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 go on forever. They're all just technologies, and all it requires for us to have is a small service which is written, which then talks to that controller. And so IR came in just exactly as that. We have a kind of bespoke IR unit which can learn and send. We just wrote the driver software for it and just added it in as another component to Harmony, so that it's another thing Harmony can talk to, because Harmony is very much a middleware.
Right, I see. That's really good, that, because that again reduces the complexity, so that, I mean, plenty of time I've talked about on the show the wife expectance or acceptance or spouse acceptance factor. But if you can make this thing seamlessly, so that it like you say, it knows the AV IR, so that, you know, I'm going to watch a movie, it turns the receiver on, sets the volume level, dims the lights, all those kind of things. There's a lot of complexity going on in the background, but from the user's point of view, it's just, you know, it's one button that does the whole lot. I can see, you know, that being a real benefit, even for the small sort of installations where you can just tie these things together.
Well, I mean, exactly, and I have to say, a lot of my stuff is given the girlfriend or wife test, as you call it. And I think one of the coolest things that she likes is that I put a wireless switch next to the bed. When she goes to bed, she can push that switch, and absolutely every single device in the house will just shut down and be off. And so she doesn't need to worry about anything. And then obviously she gets up in the middle of the night, the motion sensor will pick it up and turn the bathroom light on, the corridor light on, so she can see where she's going. And then once it's detected no motion for about sort of 30 seconds to a minute, it'll turn it off again. So she's come from a very ungeeky background, untechie background, and she's, you know, like a duck to water. She just picked it up and works with it now, and misses it when she goes into other people's houses. We've both done this, actually, when we've walked into friends' houses and sort of gone into the loo, shut the door, and been in pitch blackness, and we're like, well, when's the light going to come on?
Yeah, I mean it's something that sort of you see at CES, and I've seen it at CES in these home of the futures where these things are all wired together. But it's something that you don't really see in the sort of the average house. But you think then in the next sort of 5-10 years, these things are going to be more commonplace.
Absolutely, I think a key message is coming out of companies like Microsoft and certainly Intel at the moment. And that's that, Microsoft's already well down that journey with the fact of the digital home and getting the, getting the Xbox and the media hub in your living room. Obviously Intel won a massive piece of that action too, because at the end of the day, they're a silicon company, and getting another PC in your house is a great thing for them. I think it's going to be sooner than 5 to 10 years. I mean, the technology, some of the technology's been there for quite a while. It just hasn't been used in a particularly efficient way. You've had little bits that have worked together, but nothing overall. And I would reckon, certainly the way things are moving and some of the stuff and some of the prototype products I've seen, which are coming to market very soon. One of the joys, obviously, of having Intel as a partner, is that, maybe not by the end of this year it's going to be mass market, but certainly next year. I think this year is the year of like media and digital media and going forwards this way, and then next year I think there's going to be certainly towards the second half quite an explosion as these a lot of mass market products flood the market with very, very simple, easy to use solutions.
Yeah, it would be great to see the sort of more widely adopted, but it's also great to see a company like yourself supporting Media Center and having sort of the Media Center interface as the primary sort of interface for the TV and the 10-foot interface.
It's crucial for me, purely because I'm probably just like you in this respect, that I have a server tucked away in my house. I have a couple of Xbox 360, sorry, and that's how I watch television, that's how I game, that's how I use my media. And so yeah, that interface was a must for me because I needed it.
Yeah, I mean, when you see the power of a Media Center interface that making the product in Media Center Market Language means really you can get a very powerful, very slick interface straight onto the TV without having to sort of do the plumbing work and the core stuff that Microsoft had already done for us.
I know, exactly. It's a case of, leave your box on, turn on your Xbox, enter a code, and away you go. You're paired and you're set up, and then suddenly you've got access to all of this digital media. And that's why it was critical for us, because we didn't just want, we've integrated right into the main menu of Vista. So you literally go, recorded TV, you go media, and then you hit Harmony and home control, and it's just another subsection. And it just seemed natural that should be a bit that not that they were missing, because I'm pretty sure Microsoft are working on something along those lines at the moment anyway. But it's, it just seemed it was a shame that they didn't have that, if you know what I mean.
Mm. And so you've got there, you've got security, you've got sort of the audio, you've got the home automation. Are there any other aspects of that you can do?
Let me think. Yeah, so you've got device control, so everything from a light to an oven, and then you've got, you've got events, so you can, kick off and schedule things like multiple actions, like, scenes and things like this, so you can set the romantic lighting scene or whatever. You've then got security, moving down from there. You've got the full media and the streaming of that around your house. That's about it, really. I mean, there is another aspect which I haven't talked on very much, purely because it's not ready for market yet, and will be probably in about, I imagine we're probably four months away from this, and that is this whole personal assistant aspect. The idea of pulling in all your emails, pulling in RSS feeds, pulling in, general useful information, again, that will hit the Media Center interface, because it will hit all of the interfaces, because it will become an extension to the core. And as soon as that happens, I think I can't think of much more I want to do through my TV any more than that, and to be honest, I should be turning it off.
Information overload.
Exactly.
But I mean, that sounds really interesting. I won't push too much on that as you're still developing it, but I mean, I quite like the idea that the system kind of knows my routine, so I come down in the morning and I make the coffee, and it says, okay, this is your route into work, and these are the traffic jams. This is the RSS feed from, you know, media center related sites that you'd be interested in, and here's some of the sports things that you're interested in, and I have all this kind of thing, so that, like you said about this assistant, that it's all being brought together and all being controlled centrally and presenting that information. Because we've got so many devices that you can get this on, it would be nice to have some sort of central way of gathering it all together.
Exactly. And this is it. Like I said, a lot of what I talked about, I guess, and a lot of the things I've said, these aren't new ideas. You know, there are loads of other, you know, home automation people that are doing bits of this, and people like M-Control, for instance, who've done decent interfaces and stuff for Vista. There's all these other companies, but no one has really just brought the whole thing into a cheap, affordable, centralized thing, and that's why we dropped off the radar about 9-10 months ago, so that we could just get our heads down as a company and then just come and hit the market massively with this product, which we're launching, like I say, with eHome Automation and Intel out in Dubai at the Home Tech Show.
So just tell us about that Home Tech Show. What's that about?
It's a very, very large, in fact, it's possibly one of the biggest sort of automation and home shows out in the Middle East and that region. I mean, it's a massively international thing. What we're going to be there is we're going to have a large stand there. We're going to have our Intel guys there as well. We're going to have a massive quad-core beast of a media center, ultra-silent, sitting there controlling the entire thing with a load of touchscreens and interfaces, basically showing off the product. And at the same time, I think they're moving on after the show. There's because of the construction and a lot of the stuff that's going on out there, we've had a lot of chance to talk with a lot of developers there. And after that, it's a case of actually just, you know, this is their first real chance to see a lot of the products and a lot of what we've been talking about with them. And so it'll then move into some of the villas and et cetera, and from there. But the show itself is just an absolute massive event. We're very lucky with some of our contacts. Again, I can't much about this. We're very lucky with some of our contacts that we have out there, in the sense that we've got some. There will be some very high level people there, which will be great for us as a company, and it'll hopefully, you know, with the press and everything that's going on out there, it'll be a great opportunity to launch this product. Then obviously we'll come back from that, and then we're going to work on the European launch, and then probably towards the end of the year the States launch, because like I say, we've only just started the offices out there, and we need to give them a little bit of a chance to get going.
There, in some respects, I found that you know, things like home theater and that in the States are more advanced than they are here in the UK. Certainly more people seem to have home theatres and that kind of setup than they did in the UK. When I was over in CS this year, I noticed that more people, you know, would have that than as a rule over here at the moment. But I guess that all these things are coming, and you know, and the technology's there, so people can start to take advantage
of
it.
I think we got slightly set back in this country with things like high def, in the sense that, you know, Freeview sort of came out as this all singing, all dancing, wonderful thing, but which was just standard def, and then Sky obviously monopolised the market pretty much with high def, and then, you know, I suppose you got your cable companies too, but out there it's just ubiquitous everywhere, and moving into all of that. Like you say, people are just used to the experience out there, so it's a key market for us. I suppose actually, just I was just thinking about it, the other thing I probably haven't mentioned at all, which is actually it's actually one of our fundamental goals, is energy efficiency. That's the other total thing I haven't mentioned, which is basically the fact that all of this stuff, and we have power saving devices, and also they give you feedback, so you can find out how much energy you're using and save money. I know I've sort of convoluted that message because I've just tacked it on at the end there, but it's an absolutely key fundamental to why we're doing it. We had a big product launch back in February for a product called Bye Bye Standby. I don't know if you guys, or if you saw, did you ever watch The Dragon's Den or anything like that? Yeah.
Yeah,
you might have seen they had
a
product on there which was like I think it was a four-way adapter which turned your TV off, and all the dragons. It was the first time all the dragons basically invested. That was an interesting one, because I think it was about the week after that aired, the week after we just had our massive Bye Bye Standby launch, where we're not talking about just TVs, we're talking about, you know, being able to cut power to any device totally and monitor it and all this kind of stuff. And if you going forwards, if you look out soon, hitting quite a lot of the supermarkets in the UK and other outlets, you're going to start seeing a product called Bye Bye Standby, which basically does exactly what you saw in Dragon's Den, better and for many more devices than the TV, and that's going to be a really good thing as well, because it's all about educating people into home automation. That's a wonderful way for people to start. You know, worry about your electricity bill, turn all your devices off in one go, and then suddenly, oh wait a minute, I can get a PC controller that works with this as well. And okay, so if I got a PC controller, what can I do? Okay, I can get Harmony. Okay, that means I can control this. Oh, suddenly, and it just, you know, it's like I suppose the best analogy I can do is TomTom, the GPS software. I remember yonks ago, and that was just out for PDAs, and I remember thinking, what a great product, and no one really, it wasn't a mass market product at all. Then they made the switch, they brought the hardware out, and suddenly, you know, everyone and their dog has a TomTom now. And I can see similar things happening with the home automation market, especially, you know, at the moment we're at the educational stage. Hopefully by this time next year, you know, people will be understanding what, you know, what we're going on about a bit more on a mass market level.
So when the bye-bye standby, what was that doing? Is that switching devices off on sort of a timer basis or remote control basis?
It's very, very simple. The starter pack is literally, I think it's two appliance modules, which are basically the same size as a plug, and you plug a plug into them, and you plug those into the mains. It works over standard 433, and so it's wireless. You then get either remote control or a wireless switch. All of these run off batteries. And you just literally position your switch wherever you want it, perhaps by your front door, or you can get more units, you know, if you want to control them by remote control. And then, as I was explaining earlier, like my girlfriend does, you can push one switch and it'll send the signal out to all units and just power down absolutely everything. Or if you want to be more selective, you can just use remote control and just power down individual devices or groups of devices. And for us, that was technology we've developed ourselves internally, and it's just a really useful product, because I mean, we did some studies and we got Oxford University involved and stuff like this, and you know, just by getting that pack, you end up saving off your electricity bill something like I think it's something like £80 or £70 a year, which fine isn't, you know, massive world changing thing, but suddenly if everybody in the UK is saving that, you actually get to a stage where if there's a 5% take up of the technology, it'll actually save enough power that you could shut down half of Didcot power station, which is which, when you think about it in the grand scheme of things, that's good for the environment. And so that's kind of where we went with that. But for what really interests me more is it's a mass market product that people buy, and they're getting in their homes, and then they're figuring out, well, wait a minute, if I can use the remote, what happens if I use my computer? And it involves them, and it gets them more into media, and then you get media center, and then they're away, and you've got another convert to the digital lifestyle, which is what it's all about.
And I guess then you can get smart about, you know, when these devices come on and off, so that so you've not really got it, almost like it's got the inconvenience of having devices switched off, because, you know, as soon as you come in, they switch on, or they're on at the right time and those kind of things. So it's you can do the power saving and be intelligent about it at the same time.
Exactly. I mean, you know, they have things like wireless motion sensors as well that you can just stick on the wall. So you turn everything off, and then in the morning, the minute you get up, the motion sensor maybe picks it up in the hall as you stepped out of your bedroom door, and suddenly it turns on, you know, the various things in a certain group that you're going to need at that time. It's just smart living, basically.
Yeah, and it's just as long as you're not running it all from an old Pentium 4 3.2 overclocked, you know, because that's going to use all your power up that you've just been saving.
exactly. But you know, that's a really good point though, because that was the problem until we got things like the quad core coming out. We had this real issue that you had these beasts drawing power and not giving you much return from your one core, and now that's not the case, which is great.
Yeah. So things are moving on, and as much as I sort of you joke about it, it is a big issue, isn't it? And it's only going to get bigger, and it's becoming a sort of a big issue in politics as well, isn't it? For power saving. So it is something that I guess that is important and should be addressed. And if we can address it intelligently and buy gadgets to do that, even better.
Exactly. And you know, and to me, yes, the environment is incredibly important, and saving energy. In fact, I do live quite a decent energy saving environmental lifestyle. But at the end of the day, if you know, 10 people who don't understand computers at all get involved with it through the energy saving aspect, and then, you know, even if just one of those ends up going down the media center route or down that route, you know, that's great for so many people, and for the digital lifestyle world, it's more awareness, and you've suddenly got the whole TomTom thing all over again. More people getting GPS, your mate has it, and so then it goes, and it's bringing it and making it simple. That's the key.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they look some great products you've got on there, and I think you've got a video up, haven't you? Is that the latest version of the Harmony Software for Media Center you've got up, the video, or is that...
No, that's... I hang my head in shame now. I have to say, my blog has been... As the pressure, the time pressure has crept up towards this launch, my blog has been very neglected recently. What I probably will do is, just before I go away, I'll put a big load of new news up on there. But what I might see if I can get through to you is... it may be interesting. I know you have a video bit as well. I can get you the kind of Domia, we've got a kind of 1 minute, I think, video which kind of goes through all of the different technologies, all the different interfaces in a kind of lifestyle way, and so I might be able to get that emailed across to you so that you can actually have a look at it, and then if you want to use it, and if not, you know, I'll put it on the blog anyway.
Yeah, that would be great. We'll definitely put that on the video show. Yeah,
super.
Well, many thanks for your time today, and it sounds brilliant, and it sounds really fascinating, the trip to Dubai, and to it's been great to know that Media Center is going to be getting shown out there and used in the digital lifestyle out there.
It's going to be center stage. As I can say, there's a quad core PC, and sitting straight above that is an enormous LCD running Vista MCE. So it'll be center stage of our stand.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, we'll have to get you back on the show in a couple of months when you're back, and we'll find out some more.
Exactly, that'd be lovely. Well, thank you very much for having me on, and like I said, I've been an avid fan of the show for absolutely yonks. I remember I used to listen to it on the tube to work when I used to live back in London. Every day every week it was my staple listening diet.
Oh, brilliant. That's always good to know you've got a listener.
Exactly.
Thanks, Tim. Just keep your email coming in, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Forum poster of the week is still open, so have a look at the forums. Don't forget, if you're interested in blogging or doing any podcasting, drop me an email, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, and we can talk then. If you've got any things that you think I should be talking about, drop me an email as well, and I'll see you around on the forums. Thanks for listening. Bye.